707. Places the home, Mr. Harry Licklider. The interviewers will be Mr. Howard Swope and Mr. Lance Metz. Let's see if we get a take. Okay, now we're functioning with all gears. Sir, would you state your full name, please?
Harry Licklider.
How do you spell your last name?
L-E-I-C-H-L-I-T-E-R.
Okay. How long did you boat on the Lehigh and Delaware canals?
1924 to 1931.
Did you boat mostly with your father?
Mostly with my father, yeah.
What was his name, sir?
William.
William Licklider.
Yeah.
Where is he from?
Upper Black Eddy, I think.
Upper Black Eddy. Yeah. Okay. Could you give me your address, too, for the record?
Upper Black Eddy.
Upper Black Eddy. Okay. Did anybody else in your family besides your father and you boat?
Yeah, my brother Chet and Ed and Walter and Claire.
So you had quite a few boating.
Yeah. As they grew up, they went here.
So, like, your father would start one out and then he would grow up and then somebody else take over?
That's right.
Was Claire a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Boy. So all together you had how many four boating with your father? All together over the years?
Yeah.
How did your father first get started boating?
Well, from his father, I guess.
His father boated before him?
Yep.
What was his name?
Aaron.
Aaron. Aaron Licklider.
Yes.
Did anybody before him boat that you know of?
No, that's getting a ways back.
Getting a ways back.
Yeah, that's a little too far back for me.
Tell me your first memories of when you first started boating. What'd you think of it? How'd you start out?
Well, you just started out. Now, I was only about 8 years old then. And you get out on that towpath and you walk behind them mules.
That was your first job, walking the mules,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you got broke in.
Did you have to take care of them and feed them and everything?
Everything. They come first and you come second.
Come first and you come second.
They got their breakfast and then you got yours.
About what time in the morning would you start to feed them?
Well, anywhere from 2 o'clock on.
How late would you work?
10 o'clock at night. Depending on whether you got to head to 11, then you go right on through and go on into Bristol.
The head 11 mile level.
Yeah.
Go all the way through. Do you usually boat 6 days a week?
Yeah. 6 days. Why? Talk a little louder. Okay.
Okay, when did you first meet Jimmy Brown?
I guess that was about 1927 when I first met him. Was he in there somewhere? And, yeah, I would say about 1927.
Was he boating by himself or he had somebody with him?
No, he was on our boat.
On your boat?
Yeah.
He was driving mules and your dad was captain?
Yeah, well, he was kind of a helper, you know, on the boat. Driver, they called him.
And what did you do when Jimmy was driving? Did you help your dad steer or did you cook?
Well, they'd switch you off, you know. Everybody would take their turn with the job. And that went along. Then you learned how to steer the boat and all that stuff.
Was that hard to learn to steer the boat?
Yeah, because you could put it aground pretty quick, I would say. Kind of.
Did you ever put a boat aground?
Yeah.
Any particular spot that was rougher than others to put a boat aground?
Yeah, down in 9 Mile Up, down at, right around Washington's Crossing. It was the first time I put it on a bar.
How'd you do that? Weren't you paying attention, or what happened?
Well, I just wasn't watching where it was going. First thing you know, it was after a rain, you know, you'd get a hard wash, and that bar would come out in the canal, and then you'd run over it. There you
Well, as far as you running the ground, that wasn't your fault. Them bars went out in the canal.
Well, I know the bar was there.
You should have kept one of the towpaths.
That's right.
Did your dad give you hell?
Oh, yeah. He'd give you hell for anything. Sometimes he didn't even have to have a reason.
Did he pay you for working with him?
No. Once in a while you get ice cream or candy or something like that. That was about it.
Did you eat pretty good on the canal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We always had plenty to eat. That was one thing you never run out.
Would you bring your own food with you, or would you buy it along the way? Or
buy it along the way.
What were some of the things you ate when you were going on the canal?
Well, it was the average thing. Pork, beef, hot dogs, baked beans, fish, just about everything.
Three meals a day?
No, three.
Three. How many times did you feed the mules?
Well, before you took them out in the morning, and then at noon, and then at night in the summer.
All your boating was done out of lorries, or did you boat out of mock chunk?
No, lorries.
Out of lorries. What was it like at lorries?
That was a nice place, I thought. We always used to lay there over the weekend and wait to get loaded on Monday morning and on your way.
Was there a lot of rivalry between the Lehigh Dutchmen and you guys, the Swampers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Lehigh and the Delaware men didn't get along too good. Some of them did, some didn't.
Howard told me a story about Jimmy Brown up there one day. Would you tell me what happened with Jimmy that one day? Because Jimmy told us something about it, but you tell us your version of what happened to Jimmy
up
there.
Well, he couldn't remember much of what did happen because he was out. You mean when he was pushed overboard?
Yeah. What happened, Harry?
I told Lance what you told me.
Right.
Now he wants you to
tell
him.
On the tape.
On the tape. Jimmy told us a little about the flying birds and stuff like that, but he wants you to tell the rest of the story.
Well, there was a bunch of them there that were drunk, you know, drinking heavy, and he was the only black man on the canal. And they just got in their head they were going to drown. We're going to drown that little nigger, that's what they said. And pushed him overboard, held him down under the pole. And they would have drowned him too. But I seen it all happening, and I told my father and old John Free, you know. I said, you better go down there, I think they're drowning Jimmy. And boy, the two of them got off of that boat and down there, and I'm telling you, that was the best fight I ever seen in my life. And pulled Jimmy out, and he was out completely.
Really?
And they got the water out of him, and he came back to life. And later on, I asked him, what did it seem like when you were drowning? He said, you see all kinds of pretty little birds.
That's what he told us. He told us about a year ago. Were you involved with the fight, or was it just your dad and John Free?
John Free and my dad. No, I was kind of little to get into them things. Of course, you used to get into a fight once in a while. I don't know, that was the way of life in them days.
Well, I'll tell you, was Jimmy working for you at the time?
No, he was on with somebody else at that time. But he did boat with us a lot.
What year would that be, you think, when they tried to drown him?
I would say that was about 1929, in there somewhere.
1929. Jimmy told me he wintered one time next to your dad's boat. Do you remember, were you on the boat at that time when he wintered down here next to your dad's boat?
Yeah, that was down there in Upper Black Eddy.
Right. Were you working with your dad then when he wintered?
Not in the wintertime.
Oh,
we
okay.
Because our homestead was right back here.
Okay. Was it common for people to winter in the boats like Jimmy did that one year, or was it very unusual?
Yeah, you tie them up at your home. You're close to right to your home. Like ours was either down at the same way there, or foot of the six at Lodi.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done. Working in those. It was usually Lodi or Stingleys.
I know Jimmy
they always used to tie up at Stingleys.
Right.
I remember that well.
Jimmy told us he wintered down there two winters.
Yeah.
And your dad wintered on the boat, and he did too on, I think, with John Free's boat. He boated with John Free.
Yeah,
and he said after your father had his breakfast, he'd send the boys over with pancakes and sausage for Jimmy. Jimmy said he fed pretty good that winter. So now we want you to elaborate on them stories.
Yeah, that's true.
Old-fashioned buckwheat cakes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had lots of them.
He still talks about them buckwheat cakes.
Yep. So they ate good that winter.
Oh, yeah.
Fried potatoes, he said.
Yeah. Ham and eggs.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy boating?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I was on the Stone Line down there on back loads, you know.
Tell me about that. That's something unusual. Tell me about how you got on that and what you did.
Well, I got on with a company that had the boats, and they had mules, and they gave me 3 mules, and then I used to pull the boats back and forth from Bristol to Lumberville and at Brown's Farm, right down Brownsburg. There we used to load sod, and then take it to down New Jersey or Philly. Same way with the Stone.
You go out in the river, or would you go
out in the river?
How once you get out in the river, how would they? What would they tow your boat out there?
They towed the tug from there. It went on the tow, what you call the tow, and then maybe there would be half a dozen of them on that tow.
Who owned the Stone Line?
I can't remember the name now of the company that I worked for, but it was real good money in them days. It was almost $100 a month, you know.
Where would you load the stone? Where would they cut the stone at? Where would they?
At Lumberville Quarry.
Lumberville Quarry.
Now they call it Delaware Quarry.
Right. And they load you up and you go down out in the river.
And then you would take these boats down to the basin in Bristol.
In Bristol.
Yeah. Then the tow, the tugs would take them there on to Philly.
And whereabouts in Philly would you unload?
Well, I never got down that part of it. See, I only had the mules.
Okay.
And I had to take care of the mules.
So your dad went along when they went down too?
My father wasn't on that. Okay. He was only for the Lehigh Coal Navigation Company.
Oh, I see. So when you got to Bristol, you unhitched and they took it down?
And then I would bring 2 boats back up.
Back up. You, where would you pick the sod up at? Brownsburg?
Brownsburg.
And take that down to Bristol too?
Yeah.
So you didn't have any back loads going back up to Lumberville, right? You always went back up empty to Lumberville?
Yeah.
Well, see, they always had actually boats laying down. You remember Jim had told you?
Yeah.
And he said you had to watch, or he said you get bed bugs off of certain boats.
Right. Did you ever have a boat with bed bugs in it?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them had bed
bugs. How do you get rid of them?
They used to burn sulfur in the cabin. Close the cabin all up, then they took one of them open furnaces, you know.
We always used gasoline right in the cracks.
Did
they come up and stick their head out and roll over, huh?
You wasn't afraid of it blowing up?
We used an oil can, squirted in the cracks. Jeez. And they come out of the cracks and fall on their back, kick their feet in the bed.
I never seen them do that, but I know that sulfur.
Yeah,
used to come.
I seen him on the mud digger cabin where he was. We went to visit him one time there in New Hope. He had a blowtorch, had the mattress out and on the springs. I asked him, what the hell are you doing? Well, he said, see that little bug? That's a bed bug. And he burned him with a blowtorch.
But the sulfur cans worked pretty good? They got rid of it?
Oh, yeah. You had open furnaces. And you just close the cabin up tight and let this smolder, you know, on a coal fire. And holy hell, that was the end of the bugs. There wasn't no more bugs in that cabin.
Were the Stone Line boats built different than the company boats?
Some of them. They were them old hacky boats.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They mostly used them hacky boats.
Yeah.
You remember Jimmy tell us about the hacky boat?
Yeah.
He liked the hacky boat better than did the Lehigh Coal Navigation boat.
Right. Harry, what's the difference between a hacky boat and a coal navigation boat? What was the difference between them as far as build? Were they built differently? Or?
They had a longer cabin on for one thing.
You had more room.
I would say they had about a 3 foot longer cabin on.
And then things where you put the coal in, they was up like that instead of like this.
Instead of being flat.
Yeah, the hatches.
The hatches, yeah.
Would they carry more?
No, about the same.
About 100 tons.
Were they pull easier than the company boat?
No. They were a little heavier boat, though, than most of the Lehigh boats. I mean, Lehigh Coal Navigation. But they, most of them when I was on there, were getting to be pretty old at that time.
The stone buds.
Yeah. How are they? One of them, one time, they were taking it down and the bottom dropped right out of that one.
Oh, Jesus, where'd that happen?
Into the river.
Into the river?
Yeah.
Just went down like a rock.
Yeah, it was on the toe and the thing just blotted away and down she went.
Harry
dumped all the stone in the cabin. The captain always stayed on the boat.
Right. Know?
And he come up out of there a Helen.
That's something. How would they load the stone in the stone boats?
With a mules and a cart. These guys would throw the stone on this stone cart.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd dump it right down the boat. Right along the canal, right off the road now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether any of that old pier part is there yet or not. I guess not.
How would you load sod? Would you load it by hand or?
Yeah, they were careful about that because they would take this back out. And that was all placed right in the boat nice and taken out by hand too. Today they just roll it up on a truck and away you go with it.
Right.
Well, the hacky boats, when they hold a stone, and our boats didn't have the boards on the side,
right,
on the inside.
Right.
But the hacky boats for these rocks, they had boards on the inside, between the each stud, or the outside stud and the inside.
Like a lining plank.
Lining planks. They had lining planks on the inside. Count a stone wouldn't poke a hole in the
right
side.
Fix the side of the boat out.
Sure.
What years would you say you worked on the stone line?
1930.
Right towards the end.
Yeah. And then in the spring, we had three of the company boats and three of those hacky boats.
Hacky boats.
But I, you know, once in a while, I'd sleep on one of them. A lot of times, I'd just sleep in the barn with a mule, you know.
More room, probably.
Yeah. Lay down alongside a mule and go to sleep in the barn.
Did you run two mules or three mules?
Three mules.
Did you run them on the pulley block or run them in the traces?
Traces.
Traces. Was there a reason for doing three? I know people say block is better.
Well, the reason we done that because we pulled two empty boats back up.
Oh, right. I see. Gotcha. When you were running coal, instead of running stone boats, would you use mules, three mules or two?
Two mules.
Pulley block?
Yeah.
What was easier to handle, the pulley block or the traces?
Well, there was less work with the pulley block because it was quicker. You just mm-hmm. had the two of them. And each mule had to do his own job. Where on traces, one could lay back and the other one could work, you know?
Yep.
That you had to watch.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Now see, up on the boat where they pulled the boat with the two mules they got, his boss won't put them on the pulley block. He's in favor of the pulley block.
Yep.
But his boss over him says no. It's easy to turn him around. Well, the shafter up there does the work, and the leader does the screwing.
Yeah.
He don't want it to work.
Yep, and the leader's the biggest mule. Leader's the biggest mule.
The leader is the biggest mule.
Yeah.
Did you ever get kicked or ever get bit by a mule, Harry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was quite common. We had pretty good mules, though. Once in a while, when you were feeding them, if you didn't just get there and do your job, it's just as bad as that burro down there now. He gets hungry as hell when you don't feed him on time. And I mean it. Yeah, I got bit in the shoulder with him a couple of times. Not hard enough to break the skin, but to know they were there.
Yeah. What would you feed them normally?
Oats.
Oats
and hay. Molasses feed, the same thing that I'm doing with that burro now. Every morning I give them molasses feed.
Well,
not
molasses feed had corn and oats and everything in it.
Yeah.
That used to smell good, you could eat it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite a life, though. I always liked it.
Was there a... Could name some names, if you remember any stories about some of these people, or just name some names. Do you remember Joe Reed?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he was quite a character, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He always had his wife on the boat. But she never done much, though. You know that part, yeah. But other than that, she never done a lick of work there. that I ever seen her do. Yeah, Bill Schaefer, you know it all, man.
Knee High Dutchman.
Yeah.
Casper Dreyer, remember him?
Casper Dreyer, yeah. I remember him. And Bobby Bass, and all that.
Johnny Best.
Yeah.
Pete Nutzer.
Okay.
Joe Padrick's.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to lock up there. Going by Freeman, but
Kisser.
Kilpatrick's in there too, wasn't he?
Foot of the 3 mile level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the old man, Kilpatrick.
Yeah.
Louis and Carl are still alive. Got some geese going over, it sounds like.
What?
Got some geese going over.
Yeah, there's a lot of them around here.
Did you ever do any hunting while you were boating?
No. One time I caught a duck on a fishing line, though.
How'd you do that?
Well, I was going to fish, and I threw the line out, and I put a piece of corn onto it, and down there at Washington Squash, you remember how them ducks used to swim up and down there? Well, I threw the damn line out, and wouldn't you know the duck swallowed that corn? I had to pull him on the boat and take that cord out of his mouth.
Yeah, but I bet you didn't throw him back in.
No, the old man fixed him.
You had duck dinner, huh?
Yeah.
Did you ever catch any snappers on the canal?
I was just going to tell you about them damn things.
Okay, tell me about them. I'm kind of interested.
Up in Glendon Harbor. This was really funny. It wasn't funny in a way. It got pretty bloody towards the end. And right by the power plant there, just going up there, and there's a big old snapper there like that. So I told the old man, I said, throw me out a rope. We really got a good one here. So I'm tying this damn snapper up, you know, and he pulls it on the boat, and you always had hot water there and all that stuff, you know. And he's going to kill this snapper.
How'd you catch him in the first place? With a line or a hooker?
Tied a line around him.
Oh, you saw someone in the water, yeah. you jumped in?
No, he was walking on the tow path.
Oh, I see, walking on the tow path. Yeah. I see. I got you.
And the old man, he'd always stick in his mouth and pull out your head and then cut it off, you know. Well, that snapper had a longer neck than he thought. And that sucker got him right like that.
Ooh.
Right in there, and then he cut his finger off. And he couldn't get that snapper off of there. So I got on the boat. And we had to split the jaws. After we cut the head off.
Oh yeah, they got the death grip on it. They won't let go.
That finger was cut. The bone was laid wide open that you could look right through it just like that.
Oh my God.
Because he had this stick, you know. And when he'd pull the head out, but the damn snapper's neck was about that long. And instead of getting the stick, he got the old man right like that. And I'm telling you, he really hollered it. He got the head cut off, but then I got on to help cut the head off later.
Did you eat the stoop? Did you eat the turtle?
Oh my God, yeah. That's good. Did you ever eat snapper?
I've had it once. Did your dad have his finger have it sewed up, or did he sew it up himself?
No, he just pulled it back together and taped it together and let it go.
Let it go. It's healed okay.
Yeah.
How'd you make the switch? What'd you put in your soup? You remember what you put in your snapper soup?
Oh, you put potatoes. Carrots and beans, everything into it. Oh, vegetables, you know, or not every vegetable, but most of them. But potatoes was one of the main things.
Speaking about Glendon, did you ever have any trouble going over the bridge up above Glendon, the Mule Bridge?
Swinging Bridge?
Yeah.
When I first went over, then I was a little frightened. Because this thing, I wasn't used to nothing going up and down like that, you know. Sometimes if you got new mules and were breaking them in, you'd have a lot of problems on that bridge till you got them to go on to it, because they just didn't like that. That last team that we had was Jenny and Tom, we called them. They were nice mules. But boy, oh boy, we had one hell of a time getting across that bridge.
How'd you finally get them across?
Just kept working with them till we got them to go across it. Once they got started, then it was all right, you know, not do it. But most of the teams that there were, you know, you were breaking in, you'd always have that kind of trouble.
What about swimmers and stuff? Is there ever any places the swimmers would bother you?
Yeah. They throw rocks at you or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Were there, what particular areas would they throw rocks at you?
Well, you had a lot of that around Catasauqua.
Allentown.
Yeah.
Short level Allentown.
Did you ever throw anything back at him or shoot back at him or anything? Or?
Oh, yeah. You shoot back at him once in a while. Never did know.
Did you have a shotgun on board with you all the time? Or?
Oh, yeah. Hatchet was the main weapon, though. That was the one that most of the boatmen had always laying right by their head.
Hatchet. So if anybody would come on the boat, you could grab with a hatchet.
And then that was the quickest way.
Do you ever remember the Morrell boys?
Oh, yeah.
What were they like? I heard they were bad actors.
Yeah. They weren't the best kind. They'd get into a little trouble once in a while.
There wasn't much thieving, though, going on the boats, was there?
Oh, yeah. They'd steal a little once in a while. But it wasn't too bad.
Did you ever hear from the Morrell boys?
No, not after I got off of that. But it seemed to me one of them died in prison or was hung himself or something.
One of them is still alive. He's down in Graterford.
Is he? In Graterford prison yet?
Yeah.
Holy cow, how old is he? 80?
Still a bad actor. Lloydie said you go down to see him, boy, you gotta be careful. Lloydie Kilpatrick was telling us about him one day. You don't want to go down and see him.
Well, they were bad boys.
Yeah.
They cut that mule up there in the short level of Catasauqua there, and then they took him up in the spring and tried to stop the bleeding. Cut him right in the hind quarter, remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. I remember them, but there's so many damn things that they've done there. I know they was always getting in trouble anyway.
Did you ever meet I.M. Church?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me where you met him at.
Up there at the chutes. He used to come into the office for dinner every morning.
Nice guy?
Yeah. Heavy set man. Always wore a pinstripe suit. Hat.
The company maintained the boats pretty well for you?
Maintain them?
Yeah.
Well, if they started leaking or something like that, take them and put them in dry dock and cork them. Usually the boat, when it got in the water, well, it would fall up and quit leaking anyway. Sometimes at first, when you set all winter and dried out, you know, then when you'd load, well, the water would come into it. And you'd have to pump like hell to keep it out.
Then one of those hand pumps?
Yeah.
You remember Lenny Stone?
Yeah.
Get him to tell you about Lenny Stone.
Tell me about Lenny Stone.
Well, I can't remember too much about him, but
you remember when he grounded a team of mules and skipped up there?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, that was up in, was that in Orchard Dam?
No, that was, well, Allentown Dam there. In that short level.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember too much about that, but I heard some of them talk about it.
Do you remember Lucy White?
Yeah. She used to hang out with a big black guy.
Parker.
Yeah, Parker.
She's still alive, you know.
Lucy White?
Yeah.
She's 87 years old. She lives in Lambertville.
We were down to see her here 2 or 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. She's great. She gets to talking. Yakety-yak, you can't get her stopped.
Oh,
yeah. Talk, oh, my God. Talk.
When you knew her, was she boating or was she lock-tending?
She was lock-tending.
Two locks in Point Pleasant.
Yeah, Joni
White.
Joni White, that's right.
And Mr. Parker.
Parker lived with her?
Parker, he was He was the second
master of ceremony.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. She was a big, heavy woman.
She still is.
She is?
So Parker, Parker was with them, right?
Yeah, he lived there. Do you remember Bill Winters and John Winters and all that? Mrs. Winters, she was always on the boat. And my God, she was really fat.
What was her name?
Winters. Bill Winters and John Winters. They were brothers that boated.
And their mother boated with them, or was it one of their wives?
Bill's wife.
Bill's wife. What was her name, you remember?
No, I don't remember.
I can't remember what her name.
But she was a big woman?
Really big. She could waddle on that deck, though. She's always got along.
She always got along.
Yeah.
Well, there many.
He was a heavy man too.
Mm.
But later on, after he got off the canal, he had the Babbling Brook there. Him and his son, Roy. Roy was his son. I always remember that.
Did he boat too?
No.
No.
No, I know of.
He never boated while we were.
How long would it take to go through a lock, generally, Harry? How long would it take you to go through a lock?
About 15 minutes, something like that. It didn't take very long. Well, the worst one to go through was that Groundhog Lock.
How come?
That, that was the deepest lock on the
right.
Canal, on the Delaware Canal, and the Beaver. That used to take you quite a while because it held about twice as much water as the other locks, like down here, you know, into six and there. I, up in Allentown, damn near, I had to cut the mules loose on it.
What happened? Tell me about it.
The kids up on the railroad, you know, the railroad, not like on the canal there. And naturally, every boy and driver on the canal carried a knife. I still do today, as far as that goes. And in case the mule got in trouble, well, you cut them loose, you know. And you always had to slack up when you went around the bridge abutment, see? You know, give your mind slack so you didn't pull the mules overboard. So, these kids up there got them big rocks, see? Wham! Hit that Tom Mule in the ass. And they went into that line, and both of them right out in the river. And I got down there and got in the river and pulled out my penknife and cut them loose. Cut their lead rope off, you know. Cut them both. They swum right on out, swum it out, come on back here. Got them up on the tow path, hooked them up, and on again.
Was that the only time that ever happened to you, just once?
That was the only time that I ever had them over. But most guys drowned them when they got them overboard. Remember when Herb Moore drowned his head?
Tell me about that.
First trip.
Tell me about that.
Well, you know why they drowned it, don't you? They had the baskets on.
Yeah.
The oats and stuff got up in their nose. They wouldn't have had the basket on. They said they could have got out.
First trip he made, he drowned them mules.
Who was Herb Miller? A friend of you guys? Or?
He was a cousin of mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you there when that happened, Harry? Or?
No.
Whereabouts did it happen?
Up on the Lehigh there somewhere, man.
Well, they told me it was in the level foot of Schwartz's Dam. The mules went over the feeder there, and the tow line got caught and pulled them right overboard.
That was a loss.
Yeah, I remember it, but I can't.
I remember it too, but I. Yeah,
but I know that he only lasted that one trip, and that put him right out of business.
Yeah.
But they were two gray mules, beautiful.
Anybody else you know ever drowned mules like that? Anything? Any other times you know that happened?
Well, it happened, but I didn't see it happen. They used to work them to death, a lot of them, starving the hell out of them.
Who would do that? Some guys do that?
Well, some guys would not feed them the way they should, I know that. That was one thing about our father. The mules come first.
Mm-hmm.
And you come second, that's it. And because them things, you know, a horse would die on there in a week.
Right.
That's about as like a horse's life. If you put him on the canal, he was good for about a week, and that was it. And them mules would go 24 hours a day. as long as you fed them.
And let them roll.
Mm-hmm. They just kept right on going.
But there was it common for people to abuse the mules and starve them, or just only a few guys?
There was some of that. No, it wasn't common. I wouldn't say that. But there was some of them that done that. I don't know why the hell they do it.
Well, certain people.
Yeah.
Like Pete Nutzer was drunk all the time, wouldn't feed them. And he'd have a woman to steer or a kid that didn't know how to take care of them.
But it was quite a life. Because I say I always liked it.
Do you remember the strike?
Yep, I was in it.
Tell me a story of the strike.
Well, I can give you one good one.
Okay.
We were, let's see, Joe Reed was there, and Bill Schaefer, you remember him. That was at Freemansburg. There's a lock above Freemansburg.
Republic? No, above Freemansburg, that would
no,
be.
No. We were at Freemansburg, that's right. And Schaefer was going to pull out the next morning. Remember that? And these other old boys, no, he's not going to pull out tomorrow morning. So that night, they went in the barn, went to his harness, cut every damn piece of harness, all the little pieces. He didn't go out in the morning. And, yeah, I remember that as though that was yesterday.
Who started the strike?
Who started it? Well,
Uncle Joe Reed.
Yeah, but he wanted to scab there. After
he scabbed all the summer. Yeah, he's the guy that started it too.
They wanted 10 cents more a ton or something like that. Now, we're talking 10 cents for
right,
a ton.
Right.
Not like today where you're going to pay $117 a ton for coal.
Right.
In them days, you paid $5 for it.
Right.
But 10 cents a ton was a lot because it was 10 bucks.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Well, an old boatman, if he paid $5 a ton, he was crazy.
That's right.
He should have stolen it.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you could buy the coal for at that time. And today, you're paying as high as $120 a ton for it.
I don't know what coal is. I never had.
Yes, it is.
That's that what it is?
Down there at Singleton now, the homestead.
Well,
Rick just brought it up here, and it's $117 or $18 a ton.
So the guys started out in the spring. They were going to have a strike because they wanted 10 cents more a ton, right?
Yeah.
How long did the strike last?
It was all summer.
Yeah, but no, it didn't last all summer.
Almost.
But it was quite well. Anyway, they got the 10 cents on that ton. But what was that? That was in 1930, wasn't it, or 29? Somewhere around there.
Was Joe Reed the only guy that was scabbing, or a couple other guys scabbed too?
Well, Bill Schaefer was going to.
But you cut his harness
up? No, I didn't. I didn't
cut it. No, I know that, Harry, but somebody else cut his harness up. Tell me about John Free.
Oh boy, that's a dandy. He was one, well, I don't know what you would call him. But he was a lot of fun though, but he was really a good man in a way, you know? He'd give a lot of people work. Of course, toward the end, then he went a little squirrely, you know? But I'll never forget the time that he was gonna build a big hotel right there where you come off the bridge and milk it. Went over to Joe Mondew's and he ordered 100 shovels. And then Joe Mondew didn't give it to him, too. And he's going to dig out, he's going to put a big hotel right to come off the bridge.
Who was Joe Mondew? Hardware merchant?
Yeah.
In Milford?
Yeah.
Lumberjack.
Lumber. No.
And Joe.
Lumberyard.
Right. John Free ordered 100 tons, 100 shovels.
100 shovels. And going to put everybody to work. Dig that cellar right there and the basement and all that stuff. But it was all that kind of crazy stuff. And then he'd always say, whoa, baby. That's one word he always used. That. But he was quite
his mules was all babies. Remember I told you?
Yep. A lot of guys butted with him. A lot of guys got started with him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Jimmy Brown said one time he was coming down Schwartz's Dam with John Free and he was eating his dinner coming down Schwartz's Dam, and the mules seen a farmer up on the towpath side there, on the other side of the railroad. Mules went up to meet them other team. And Jimmy come up and he was going to dive overboard, and John says, "Jimmy, eat your dinner." He said, "The Lord took him up there, the Lord's going to bring him back." But he said the lock tender brought him back.
Did you ever break a tow line when you were boating and have the mules run away on you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was common. But, well, the mules never would run too far. You always got them back. But Keller, John Keller, he broke a tow line and then went down over the dam up there at Easton. I guess you...
Yeah, he's the kid's still alive.
Yeah, Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and I worked together for quite a few years.
He's something. He's okay, but his wife, oh, God, his wife is something else again. Tried to talk to him one time.
But he wasn't on very long. He was over on... I guess Frank was over on there a couple trips about. It was all he was.
What was the most unusual thing that happened to you on the canal?
Well, there's a lot of things there, in a way.
Just tell me some of them, really. Anything comes to your mind?
Well, I remember one time we laid down there at Jake Oberick's, that's down where Golden Pleasant is in there.
Right.
You remember Calvin James, the one that murdered my uncle? And then he killed that druggist. Well, he, my old man, you know, always knew that he killed my uncles, and he was preaching it all over. And James said, "Well, I got to stop him. I'll shoot him, if nothing else." But one time, down at Rabbit Run Bridge, right before he killed this Dunson, he was up on the bridge, and we were going to New Hope that night. And I seen him on the bridge, and he would have shot the old man there.
Do you have a gun with him?
Huh?
Do you have a gun with
him? Oh, he always carried a gun. That was his favorite tool. That's what he lived by. And luck had it, just when the old man was going through another bridge, a car come up on the bridge, and I could see him up there just plain as day. I was on the towpath. And anyway, we got by that one without anything happening. But a few weeks later, we had tied up there at Jake Oberacre's and be damned if he didn't kill that druggist and throw him in the canal in back of our boat.
Wow. So the body was discovered the next day in back of your boat?
Yeah.
Did you discover the body, or your dad discover the body?
The cops caught up with him, and then he told him where he threw the body in the canal. Huh?
Where was the druggist from?
What ask it?
What was your uncle's name that he killed? Your uncle's name?
Tom and Joe. Thomas.
Killed two of
Joe.
Them.
He killed two of them.
Two of them.
They both on the canal, these guys?
No. They had farms down at Dempsey.
Okay. And he just went on the farm and killed them, or?
Yeah. One farm.
You get caught for that one, or they didn't catch you for that one?
Caught for that.